You know that feeling when you walk into a traditional waiting room, say like at the DMV or a severely overbooked health clinic?
Oh, it is the absolute worst.
Right. There's this very specific, almost universal psychological weight to it. You walk in, you pull a little paper number from a plastic dispenser, and you just find a seat in a really uncomfortable chair.
You just sit there.
Exactly. You just sit there staring at a digital board on the wall, watching the numbers slowly tick up.
Yeah, and I think it strips away your humanity a little bit, you know. In that specific moment, you aren't really a person trying to accomplish a goal or a professional with places to be.
No, not at all.
You are essentially just inventory waiting to be processed by a machine that, frankly, does not care about your time.
That is the perfect way to frame it. You're just inventory. And we accept that dynamic in certain parts of life because we feel like we have to.
Right, like at the DMV.
Yeah, but what is completely wild to me is that we have essentially recreated that exact same paper number waiting room inside of our workplaces. We just call it the IT support ticket.
Oh, absolutely.
So today on the Deep Dive, we are unpacking a giant stack of notes and research that basically proves the IT ticket, that digital waiting room we all hate, is actually dying.
Which is a bold claim, but the data is there.
It is. We're going to show you how artificial intelligence isn't just making the line move faster. It's basically shifting the entire paradigm to getting rid of the waiting room altogether. It's fundamentally changing how employees get what they actually need.
But getting rid of it requires us to first look at a rather uncomfortable premise that the service management industry has kind of just ignored for decades.
What's the premise?
Well, what if a faster ticket is still the wrong outcome?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, for years, billions of dollars have been spent on routing tickets more efficiently. The goal was always making them easier to submit, faster to categorize, and just cheaper to resolve for the IT department.
Right. It was all about the back-end efficiency.
Exactly. But they ignored a fundamental truth about the workforce. Employees never wanted a better ticket in the first place.
Nobody wakes up wanting a ticket.
Right. They just wanted access to their design software. They wanted their password reset so they could log into a meeting on time. They wanted to start a day-one job with the right permissions already in place.
The ticket was never the service. The ticket was simply the mechanism we created to manage the failure to deliver that service immediately.
That's a great way to put it.
I mean, think about the last time you, the listener, were totally blocked at work. You couldn't do your job because you were waiting on an IT approval or a software license or a VPN fix.
It's maddening.
It really is. Think about that frustrating, grinding halt to your day where you are just aggressively refreshing your inbox, waiting for permission to do your actual job. What we are diving into today is how that exact frustrating experience is on the verge of disappearing.
But to understand how it disappears, we first have to dissect why the current system is just so deeply broken.
We have to look at the mess we're in now.
Yeah, we really need to analyze the traditional definition of self-service inside the enterprise. Because self-service is a concept that companies, well, they love to sell it to their employees, but the reality of it is usually a nightmare.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because self-service sounds empowering, right? It sounds like you are being handed the keys to solve your own problems. What does it actually look like in practice for a typical employee at a large company?
Usually it rests on three very shaky pillars: a portal, a knowledge base, or a form.
The dreaded portal.
Always the portal. When an employee has a problem, the company's solution is to basically give them yet another digital place to visit. And the standard process is incredibly taxing on the user.
How so?
Well, first, you navigate to an internal website you only visit when you're already frustrated. Then you try to figure out what category your problem even belongs in.
Which is impossible.
Right. Like, is a software license an access request or an IT incident? You don't know, so you search the knowledge base.
And the search results are always terrible. You type in need access to forecasting software, and you get a human resources policy from 2018 about remote work and maybe an article on how to clean your keyboard.
Exactly. You are scrolling through totally irrelevant information. So when you finally give up on the articles, you try to choose the correct request type from a drop-down menu of like 50 confusing, jargon-heavy options. You fill out a form, you attach a screenshot to prove you are actually having an issue, you hit submit, and then
And then you wait.
you just wait. The burden of figuring out how the IT department is structured is placed entirely on the shoulders of an employee who just wants to do their job.
It's like going to a restaurant, ordering a meal, and the waiter just hands you a recipe and points you toward the kitchen.
That is exactly what it is.
You're doing the administrative work for the service desk.
It's deflection presented as empowerment. The company says, look at this great portal. You can serve yourself. But what the employee actually hears is, go help yourself and please don't bother us.
And that's why nobody uses them.
Precisely. This dynamic is exactly why these self-service portals constantly struggle with user adoption. I mean, they might be highly efficient for the IT organization because it structures their inbound queue and forces the user to categorize the work for them.
Right.
But they are absolutely not better for the employee.
So because the old model was essentially forcing the employee to do all the heavy lifting, organizations naturally thought they could fix this friction with automation.
Right. Automation was supposed to be the savior.
But looking through our sources, it becomes glaringly obvious that they automated the wrong thing. Let's look at the difference between automating the ticket versus automating the service.
This is key.
Because the distinction between those two ideas is kind of the core of this entire technological shift, isn't it?
It really is. Let's look at automating the ticket first. Imagine you need access to that forecasting application we mentioned earlier.
Okay, I need my software.
In a traditionally automated environment, you still go to the portal, you find the form, and you submit the ticket. Then the automation kicks in behind the scenes.
So the employee doesn't see this part.
Right. It categorizes the request using basic rules, routes it to the correct regional IT queue, looks up who your manager is, and sends them an automated email asking for approval.
Okay.
And if 2 days pass without an answer, the system automatically reminds your manager. When it finally lands on an IT agent's screen, the automation might even write a nice little summary of the ticket for them.
So from the IT department's perspective, this looks like a massive operational win.
Oh, they love it.
The ticket is traveling through the digital pipes so much faster. The metrics they report to the executives look amazing. They're consistently beating their SLAs, you know, the service level agreements.
Operationally, the dashboards are just all green. But the fatal flaw is that the underlying unit of work remains the ticket itself.
Right.
An IT department might celebrate a 6-hour resolution time because it beats their 8-hour SLA.
Mm-hmm.
High fives all around in the IT department.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the employee has been sitting at their desk for 6 hours without the software they need to finish a critical presentation.
It sounds like traditional IT automation is just giving the listener a really highly detailed tracking number for a package that's still going to take a week to arrive.
Exactly.
So we don't want the tracking number. We want the package.
We just want the package delivered. So contrast that frustrating cycle with automating the service itself.
Okay.
In this new paradigm, the employee doesn't go to an obscure portal. They stay in the communication tools they're already using all day.
Like Slack or Teams?
Right. They open Slack or Microsoft Teams and simply type in everyday natural language, I need access to the forecasting application. The AI receives this message. But rather than creating a ticket and throwing it into a queue, it goes to work as a digital employee.
Let's break down exactly what going to work means here, because I really want to be clear about the mechanics. How does it deliver the package without the tracking number?
Okay, so the AI agent instantly looks at the context of the person sending the message. It checks the company's master directory and says, okay, this is Sarah. She's a senior financial analyst based in London.
It knows exactly who she is.
Exactly. Then it checks the company's access policy for that specific software and sees that senior financial analysts are pre-approved for it.
Nice.
It confirms that the company actually has a spare license available to give her. Then it communicates directly with the software itself to create her account, updates the official company logs to preserve an audit trail, and replies to Sarah in Slack.
What does it say?
It just says, you now have access. Here is the link.
Yeah.
And all of that happens in seconds.
Wow. No portal, no queue, no waiting for Steven IT to get back from his lunch break to click approve.
None of it.
No ticket whatsoever. Unless the organization specifically requires an invisible one to be generated in the background just for a compliance audit.
Exactly. The objective completely shifts from processing a container of work to actually delivering the final outcome.
Which fundamentally alters the speed of business. But, you know, it raises a very valid question. We have had basic chatbots for years. Every website has a little bubble popping up in the corner asking to help you.
Right, the little smiley face bot.
Yeah. If instantaneous service delivery is this impactful, why are we only just now starting to actually do it?
Because generating a conversational response is vastly different from safely executing a business action.
Ah.
I think this is where people really get confused about AI at work. There is a massive difference between a chatbot and a true AI agent. A chatbot gives advice. It tells you how to request access.
Like pointing you to a form.
Exactly. It points you to a form or surfaces a helpful article. But if the AI is just giving advice, the human is still the operating system. You still have to read the article, click the link, and do the manual labor of getting the software.
The AI agent, on the other hand, actually takes the action for you?
Yes. But to take action, it needs something a basic chatbot just doesn't have. It needs live business context.
Wait, isn't it incredibly risky to give an AI the keys to the castle? I mean, if it doesn't have absolute perfect context about an employee's role and compliance limits, couldn't it just accidentally provision highly sensitive financial software to an intern who just asked nicely?
Yes. And that is the exact hurdle that has held this back until now. An AI agent cannot just be a language model sitting on top of a pile of internal wiki pages.
That would be a disaster.
A total disaster.
Mm-hmm.
To be safe, it needs permission-aware access and integration into the systems where work actually happens. The AI needs to definitively know the answers to critical security questions in real time.
Like what kind of questions?
Like, who is this person? What is their exact role? Are there recent changes to their employment status? Like maybe they put in their 2 weeks notice yesterday.
You know? Oh, right. You wouldn't want to give them more access.
Exactly. Or what compliance policies apply to their specific region.
So it has to act like a bouncer checking the VIP list and the club rules simultaneously in a fraction of a second before letting anyone through the door.
That's a perfect analogy. Deep native integration into the company's identity and policy platform is the only way this works safely. The digital master list that proves you are who you say you are.
So it's not breaking the rules?
No. The AI doesn't bypass security rules to go faster. It rigidly enforces the existing security rules at machine speed.
Okay, I see.
When an intern asks for financial software, the AI checks the identity system, sees the intern tag, checks the policy, sees that interns are forbidden from accessing that tool, and instantly replies, "I cannot grant you access to this software based on your current role."
So it's not just a smart search tool summarizing documents. It is a digital worker safely executing a defined process with full compliance guardrails.
Exactly. And when you successfully bridge that gap, when you give the AI both the conversational intelligence to understand the user and the secure access to take action, the real world impact is just staggering.
Well, if this integration is as seamless as the research suggests, there must be companies already operating this way at scale.
There are.
So what happens when a massive enterprise actually flips the switch on this intelligent service layer?
Let's look at a specific case study from our sources. This involves a global software company with about 6,600 employees.
Okay, so a decent size.
Yeah, big company. Prior to implementing this, their IT organization was processing roughly 35,000 requests every single year.
That's a lot of tickets.
A massive amount.
Yeah.
And they did an analysis and realized a huge portion of these tickets weren't complex server outages. They were highly repeatable, mundane needs.
Like what?
People asking for access to design tools, requesting guest Wi-Fi passwords, trying to add someone to a specific collaboration channel, or just asking basic, how do I do this questions?
Right, the routine stuff that completely clogs up the pipes and keeps highly paid IT professionals doing mindless administrative chores.
Exactly. So they integrated these AI services directly into Slack. And this is important. They didn't try to pave a 10-lane highway all at once. They just built one really fast express lane for the most common traffic.
Start small.
Yes. They targeted those high-volume, simple needs, and the results were immediate.
Yeah.
A routine software access request that previously took an average of over 6 days to resolve.
6 days?
Over 6 days. It was suddenly being completed from start to finish in under 2 minutes.
Let's just pause on that. 6 days down to 2 minutes. I mean, think about the psychological relief for the employee.
It's massive.
6 days of chasing managers, waiting for IT shifts to turn over, and constantly checking your email for an update. All of that friction is just gone.
The human relief is immense, but the business value calculation is where it gets truly wild.
Okay, lay it on me.
By eliminating that wait time across 35,000 requests, they estimated that nearly 400,000 employee hours of capacity were returned to the business annually.
400,000 hours?
Yeah, Let me contextualize that number. 400,000 hours is roughly equivalent to the productive time of 190 full-time employees. Valued at a conservative, fully loaded cost that is $19 million in capacity returned to the business.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because if you're hearing this, make sure you don't miss the nuance of that math. That $19 million isn't about firing 190 IT people to save cash on the balance sheet.
No, not at all.
It is about returning lost, frustrating hours to the employees who were previously stuck in service friction. It means your engineers are actually writing code, your sales team is actually talking to clients, and your designers are actually designing instead of spending hours managing their own IT hurdles.
It is entirely about reclaimed productivity. And we see this mirrored in another example from our sources involving the cybersecurity firm Proofpoint.
What did they do?
They utilized an AI service layer to create what they call an intelligent front door. Because in most large enterprises, support doesn't live in one clean, organized system.
Oh, I know.
Right? It is a chaotic web spread across old documentation, identity systems, HR platforms, and legacy ticketing tools.
And as an employee, you usually have to understand the internal org chart just to know who to ask for help. Yeah. You have to know if a broken laptop is a hardware IT issue or a facility's asset issue. It is just exhausting.
But with an intelligent front door, the employee doesn't need to know any of that back-end architecture. They just describe what they need in plain English.
Like my laptop screen is flickering.
Exactly. The AI understands the context, figures out which department is responsible, applies the correct policy, coordinates the action across all those messy back-end systems, and closes the loop of the user. The complexity of the enterprise is completely abstracted away from the employee.
Okay, but hearing numbers like $19 million and 400,000 hours reclaimed, I mean, that might make a lot of eager IT executives want to automate the entire company overnight.
Oh, they definitely try.
They'll look at this research and want to rip out every legacy system tomorrow morning. But diving deeper into the sources, a massive sweeping transformation like that seems to be a reliable recipe for total disaster.
It is the fastest way to fail. The correct approach, and really the roadmap that actually works in practice, relies on starting small and keeping the humans in the loop.
So how do you start?
You begin with high-volume, repeatable services that have very clear binary policies, password recovery, basic equipment requests, common software access. If you try to deploy a generic chatbot that promises to solve every problem under the sun, you will fail. You have to choose a few specific services and make them work flawlessly from end to end.
Because we have all suffered from chatbot fatigue, right? Where a bot traps us in a loop of useless answers. It gives us links to articles that don't help, repeatedly asks us to rephrase our question, and refuses to let us talk to a human.
It's the worst user experience possible.
So how does an organization ensure they are actually building a roadmap based on reality rather than just forcing an abstract AI strategy onto their employees?
Well, you avoid that trap by obsessively analyzing actual operating data. You don't sit in a boardroom and ask, what percentage of our knowledge base can we feed into an AI?
Right.
You look at the data and ask, where are our employees waiting the longest? What specific requests consume the most capacity from our service desk? You build the roadmap based on the actual pain points. And crucially, you have to recognize that humans are still absolutely essential to this ecosystem.
Okay, so we aren't talking about replacing the human IT department entirely. AI handles the routine, but the humans are still there.
Yes. Humans are still deeply needed for handling exceptions, for dealing with highly sensitive or nuanced information, and for complex issues requiring actual professional judgment.
Sure.
But the magic of this new model is that when an issue does require a human, the handoff improves drastically. Think about how it works today. If a bot fails, you usually get dumped to a live agent and have to start over.
Oh, I hate that. Hi, I just spent 10 minutes explaining my entire problem to your bot. Now I have to type it all out again for you.
Right. It is infuriating. But that dynamic completely goes away here. In this model, if the AI cannot fulfill the request because a policy requires human judgment, it seamlessly escalates to a human agent.
And what does the agent see?
They don't just get a blank ticket. They receive the employee's full identity context, the relevant chat history, a log of the actions the AI already attempted, and the specific security policy that caused the block.
Oh, that's amazing.
The employee never repeats themselves. Automation resolves the routine, which makes the non-routine work much easier and faster for the people best equipped to handle it.
So if the underlying process changes this drastically, and the technology is entirely different, and the human IT agent's role changes from routine processor to complex problem solver,
everything shifts.
Yeah. Then the way a company measures success has to be thrown out and completely rewritten.
Absolutely. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the old yardsticks are just obsolete. For decades, the IT industry measured success by looking at cost per ticket or average resolution time.
Right.
But in a service-oriented model where tickets are meant to be entirely invisible, those numbers tell you absolutely nothing about the reality of the employee's experience.
Because knowing how fast you closed a ticket doesn't tell me if the person actually got to do their job. It's like measuring a hospital's success by how fast they discharge patients without checking to see if anyone was actually cured.
That's a classic watermelon metric. Green on the outside, red on the inside. The dashboard says you met the SLA, but the employee is furious because they still don't have what they need.
Wow. Watermelon metric. I love that.
Yeah. A service-oriented model needs new metrics. Organizations need to start asking how many requests were successfully completed without a ticket ever being generated.
Okay.
How much overall wait time was removed from the employee base this quarter? How much productive capacity was returned to the company?
It all comes down to an ultimate, seemingly obvious question that legacy systems almost always fail to ask.
Did the employee actually get what they requested?
Right.
It sounds incredibly basic, but a ticket can very easily be marked as closed or resolved in a legacy system without the underlying problem being solved. A service cannot be considered complete until the outcome is successfully delivered into the hands of the user.
So what does this all mean for the listener today? I mean, it seems like the era of the IT ticket acting as the center of the employee experience is coming to an end.
It really is. The ticket was just a container for manual work. As AI removes the need for that manual coordination, the ticket becomes nothing more than an invisible receipt for an audit trail. A simple request should now just be met with a simple, consider it done.
To summarize it all, automating the ticket just makes a bad process slightly faster. But automating the service creates a profoundly better process where the employee actually gets what they asked for right when they ask for it.
Exactly. I strongly encourage you to look at your own workplace bottlenecks this week. Look at the internal tools you're forced to use. Are the systems you interact with daily measuring the mechanics of support, like how fast they can close your file, or are they actually measuring the delivery of the service you requested?
It will completely change how you view every digital interaction at work. But I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over, kind of building on what we learned today.
Okay.
Today, we talk entirely about internal IT, you know, employee self-service inside the corporate walls. But think about this. If AI agents can so flawlessly navigate incredibly complex internal company policies, identity systems, and software licenses to deliver instant results without a ticket,
where does it end?
Right. How long until this exact same consider-it-done architecture completely destroys and replaces the external customer service industry? Will consumer support tickets like waiting on hold with your airline to change a flight, or fighting with your internet provider over a billing error, will those soon be a relic of the past too?
It's definitely coming.
Something to think about the next time you find yourself holding a metaphorical paper number in a digital waiting room. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.